Welcome to Gila Members Community Radio. Next up, we'll be back to the garden, conversations with Jean Eisenhower and her guests on all things green and growing in and around your house. This is GMCR, a voice and a choice for Southwest New Mexico.
Comes the springtime, plant your seeds, see what you can do to grow your needs. Tend your gardens, touch the earth, thank the stars above for all your worth. Seasons of plenty, seasons of change, also abundantly here.
Hello and welcome to Back to the Garden. I'm your host, Jean Eisenhower, and this is a show for gardeners, beginning gardeners, and all those who think it might be a good idea to have a garden. Today, we'll be talking with Nava Konigsberg, a local herbalist, and we'll be talking about herb gardening, specifically the planning aspect of gardening, which is exactly what we need to be doing during the cold winter months. Welcome, Nava, to the show.
Thanks, Jean.
Well, herb gardening, I think, is incredibly important for a couple different reasons. Herbs are valuable as medicine and as a culinary ingredient. And also, they're often easier to grow than other things, being drought tolerant and often providing their own insect control. So I want to encourage gardeners who think that maybe they just don't have the skills or the time to do it. They think it might be too difficult. Well, they could start with herbs. And so I'm really glad you're here today.
Well, actually, that is how I started. When I first thought it, when I was in college and I thought of having a garden, and someone suggested to me that herb gardening would be easier. And so that was my first garden I ever had, was a little teeny tiny herb garden.
Yeah, so you combine the ease with the value, and it makes it worth it for everybody.
It does.
So many people say it doesn't pay to garden. You know, you put too much in for those few tomatoes. Well, it's not, you know, exactly the opposite's true with herbs.
It's true. I find myself in the funny position of saying, oh, do I really have to grow vegetables? I'd really just rather grow herbs. But I always do throw a few tomatoes in anyway.
Yeah, we need those fresh those fresh tomatoes. Well, before the show, you told me that microclimates are absolutely critical to your success. So would you like to define microclimate?
Sure. Well, here in the Southwest, I don't know why exactly, maybe because the air is thinner, maybe because of our altitude. What you find is that on the same piece of property, you could plant something and it does great, and then you plant something a few feet away even, and it doesn't do as well, or it freezes in the winter, it just doesn't overwinter, it never seems to get enough water. And our situation here is that when we talk about microclimates, we're talking literally about within a small space. There might be a higher temperature, it might freeze sooner, there might be more moisture, the soil might be different. And so what I found in my own garden at home is, as I said, I could have a lot of success with something in one part of the garden and try planting it somewhere else and it just won't do as well. And this is more of an issue with things that are overwintering. Mm-hmm. When you're planting annuals, which are plants that only make it through 1 year and then they make seeds and they die, it's not as much of an issue, mm-hmm. maybe with the soil quality. But in terms of the climate and making it through the winter, and particularly around freezing, around spring winds, which can be really hard on young plants, mm-hmm. for those things, for those overwintering plants, the small changes in the climate that exist around your house are really important.
Well, let's talk about all those things that contribute to these changes.
Well, you might notice if you spend a winter here that if you can get out of the wind and into a sunny spot, you're okay. You feel a lot warmer.
And the temperature difference,
the temperature
can be huge.
Difference is incredible. And so we feel that. And so certainly you could imagine that plants would feel that too. Mm-hmm. The wind here in the spring is really strong, and that can really be something that gets to some of the young plants. And so looking at your house, noticing what the orientation is, are things facing south, are they facing north, remembering that in the wintertime, that are planted on the south side of the sun, of the house, will get more sun. Now, of course, they're not growing then, so you think, well, why does it matter? But the soil will stay just a little bit warmer. They may make it through a hard freeze mm-hmm. better than they would if they were on the north side of the house.
Right.
So things like that. And it's really a matter of getting to know your property, getting to know your land. And sometimes the simplest things can change the microclimate. So, for example, everybody talks a lot about raised beds. It's a big thing. Everyone, you know, building up these big beds. Well, the problem with having raised beds here is, again, that wind, that spring wind. So I actually don't build raised beds. My garden has pieces of wood sort of surrounding it, and that acts as a little bit of a windbreak. And there's a real traditional method of gardening, which is waffle gardening, where they would plant in the little shallows. And just that little bit of, you know, putting a little can around your baby that you're starting, or putting some wood, or just planting it in a spot where it's a little more protected, gets a little more sun, can really make the difference between success and failure.
I like that. Now, I've never been a big advocate of raised beds, because I thought that, you know, in a dry climate, if you raise it, then it can evaporate from the sides.
That
Though
is true.
I know a lot of people advocate it and they have success with it, but it seemed a little contradictory to me. And yet, I understand that I have one of the few rosemaries that lasted that didn't get killed in that hard freeze.
Well, remember that rosemary was big already,
right?
So what I was talking about had more to do with little baby plants that you're just trying to get going.
Okay.
Rosemaries grow near the ocean. They're used to wind. They're used to being buffeted. So, you know, once they get to a certain size, that wind and stuff isn't going to bother them. But the freeze, as I was saying before we started talking, a few years ago, almost every rosemary plant in Silver City died from a very late spring frost. And so yours was just obviously, it could have been because it was terraced. It could have been where it was. Again, that microclimate, it might have just been in the right spot, enough out of the wind where the frost didn't settle on it.
Right. Because frost is one thing, but then there's also the cold air flow. And I don't think I made it clear that I was wondering if the terrace had lifted it up above the cold air flow, because cold air flows somewhat like water. But it rises above anything that's holding heat, like, you know, thermal mass of rocks. So it's kind of, a cold air flow is a really tricky, you know, element to understand. So
it
maybe
is.
We'll pass over that one for a
I'd
while.
I'd have to see it. So if people are thinking about having an herb garden, it really is a fun and easy way to get started. And it can be as simple as something on your windowsill.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to, if you have a sunny south-facing window and get a pot that has good soil and is well-drained, I always encourage people to use organic soil, not soil that you might use for a house plant that comes pre-fertilized, because you're going to be eating this, so you don't, you want it to be organic. But herbs like parsley and basil and rosemary and thyme, all of those are very easy to grow in a windowsill garden. And if you're feeling antsy, you can start now. You know, you could start sooner and have something, and then in the spring you can plant it out. They smell wonderful. There's nothing like when you're cooking, just reaching over and plucking a fresh sprig of herbs and being able to throw that into your food. They make your house taste great, smell great.
And wonderful in salads, too.
They're great in salads.
Those fresh herbs.
You can use them for all sorts of things. So it could really be that simple. Herbs tend to do well also, just as they do in the house, in patios. So if you're living in an apartment or someplace where you just don't have room, aside from just the windowsill in the summertime, you can have bigger planters, and they do great.
Right.
And you can use anything, you know, old bathtubs, whatever, for a planter. And then if you have the room, you can certainly, you know, start, again, looking around at your land, looking at the soil. It's important to remember that there are two big categories of herbs that we talk about, annuals and perennials. And so annuals are herbs that you'll have to replant every year. And those are ones that it really makes a lot more sense to just buy the seeds. It's not worth it to pay to buy the plants. Buy the seeds. They tend to come up easily. You can just sort of throw them out there. They grow quickly, and then you'll have them for that season, and then they'll be gone. And then there are a lot of the culinary herbs, such as, you know, again, thyme and rosemary and oregano, are perennials. Things like dill and parsley are actually biennials, a little more confusing. They'll make it for 2 years, but usually by the second year, they're pretty much done. And so if you're planting something that's going to be more permanent, a perennial plant, you really want to think about how big is it ultimately going to get, because
they can get huge.
They can get huge.
My rosemary is 6 feet
they
across.
They can. So you always, and this is the same with any garden, you want to think about how big is this plant going to get, remembering that you're going to be cutting it back to use it. But and plants to some degree, to some stages, can be transplanted if you need to. I have definitely been accused of moving plants around the way some people move furniture around.
I have done that too.
So, you know, it does happen. But if you can, the better you can plan ahead, the less of that you'll have to do, and the happier the plants will be in the long run. And so, you know, some really easy herbs that people are probably familiar with that also look great in the garden. Rosemary, as you've mentioned. Lavender does well here. There's a lot of different varieties, and some of them are more drought tolerant than others. Those two are great sort of foundation bushes that really can be used in the landscape as ornamental plants, and again, they smell wonderful.
And flowers, and they take care of the bees.
Yeah, they're just wonderful plants like that. And then, you know, again, things like thyme, basil is an annual one that's easy to grow. And so, you know, just thinking about, okay, what do I want to eat? Of course, that's the most important thing. What am I going to eat? A lot of herbs that we think of are used in, you know, spaghetti sauce, oregano, marjoram, rosemary, thyme, savory. All of these herbs are really easy to grow.
Well, pesto has, you know, became one of my favorite foods back in the 80s, and I consider it just the greatest luxury to be able to go out in the yard and gather basil to make my own pesto. And then when I learned that it's also a blood cleaner, I was thrilled that this food that is a luxury to me is also good medicine.
So think about how expensive it is to buy basil if you go to the market.
Yes.
It's really, really expensive. And to buy pesto is incredibly expensive, too. And one of the nice things about pesto is you can freeze it very easily.
And have it all year long.
And you can have it all year long. Yeah. I always remember when I was pregnant with my first child, I had horrible morning sickness, and I was house-sitting in a house that had this incredible basil patch, and the woman had invited me to make as much pesto as I wanted, and I couldn't even water it because just the smell of the water hitting the leaves was enough to send me running. So
When
I was pregnant. So I've sort of always fantasized about that, the pesto that got away this summer.
That's funny. So, if people are inspired by us, what might be easy first plants to think about? I like to also keep in mind, you know, like what would go right outside the kitchen door? What's going to be the most used? Probably the basil that we're talking about.
Well, one thing I always encourage people to do with gardening anywhere is talk to your neighbors, particularly talk to your older neighbors, because they're the ones who've been there, who've been gardening. And, you know, it's easy to look at our neighbors, especially some of the older folks. And what you see is you see their garden when they're not able to put as much energy into it as they used to in the old days. But that doesn't mean they don't have that knowledge. If they're still gardening at all, you can bet they know what they're talking about and they know what does well here. And so, first of all, always talk to them. Look around your neighborhood. See what other things are growing well there. If you see big, beautiful bushes of lavender and stuff, then you can guess that, oh, yeah, maybe it'll do well in my soil and in my climate where I am also.
Exactly the same elevation, same soil.
So that's important. The first thing is, you know, look around your neighborhood and talk to your neighbors and get a sense. And this is true for vegetable gardening, too. You know, they know a lot. So that would be one thing. I really love to have rosemary right by the house. Lavender is one that I use more ornamentally, so that might be a little further away. It's not one I'm going to be going out and plucking, you know, at 7 o'clock on a dark night in the winter to try to get something to cook with. So I tend to keep a little kitchen herb garden pretty close to the kitchen, in which I have things like parsley and sage and thyme and tarragon and marjoram and savory. There's winter savory and summer savory. I much prefer summer savory. And just see what does well. Parsley's an easy one. Parsley will last well into the winter if you keep it a little bit protected.
That's good.
And it's a nice one. I think of it more as a vegetable than a spice, really, although you can dry it.
But fresh in a salad is great.
And then that brings this sort of like, well, okay, well, what do I do with all of these herbs, right? So if I have all these herbs growing outside, and remember that many herbs can be dried very well. The thing that gives that gives a lot of these herbs and spices their wonderful smell and their wonderful flavor are the oils that are in them. And those will evaporate out if they're not dried properly. So you want to dry things. An old window screen that's clean is a great way. You just cut them, dry them. I try to dry things without chopping them up too much, because the more you chop them up, the more they're just going to sort of lose their flavor. So you try to keep them as whole as you can and store them that way. And then when you're ready to use them, you can crumble them up at that point, and then you'll smell that incredible aroma.
Right.
So drying is a real easy way to do it. With cilantro and basil, sometimes what I do when I'm tired of making pesto is I just will chop it up and put it in an ice cube tray and pour water over it and freeze it. And it'll freeze like that and then pop the ice cubes out afterwards.
And that holds all the oils in?
And that holds it in. And then when I'm ready to use it, I just drop that ice cube into whatever I'm cooking with and whatever it is. And so that's a great way to preserve
nice and
herbs
easy.
Also, yes, if you don't want to have to dry it. You can steep things in olive oil and make flavored oils is a wonderful way to preserve the smell and medicinal value of a lot of the herbs.
Right.
And then you can make your own salad dressing.
Very nice. So. And we'll go to a break in a moment, but I was putting a sprig of rosemary in my olive oil all the time, and that used to be my only dressing for a while. Did it for a couple of years, got tired of it. Let's take
try
a break.
Something new.
Yeah. Okay, well, this is the time that we usually talk about gardening calendar events, but there are none. The farmers markets are closed for the winter, and High Desert Organic Gardeners won't be meeting again until January. So I don't know of any other free classes, but I know that there are classes. They're not free ones, so I can't announce them, but they're out there. Just watch your calendars. And if you know of any other free events of interest to gardeners, please call the station at 597-4891 and let us know. If you just tuned in, this is Back to the Garden, and we're visiting with local herbalist Nava Konigsberg about herb gardening and specifically planning, and we'll see where the conversation goes. This is the time of year to start contemplating our yards and gardens for next year and think about what we'd like to do differently and what would be valuable to us and make us happy. So let's, Nava, where should we go next here?
Well, so here it is. It's fall, and so it's easy to think, gosh, I don't need to think about my garden until next year. But remember that this is the time to be mulching and covering things up and protecting them for the winter, trimming things back that need to be trimmed back, sort of finding that balance between good garden hygiene and mulching and keeping things covered up and tucked in for the winter time. And it's also the time to start thinking about which catalogs you're going to start sending away for. And fortunately, a lot of the big seed companies are now carrying herb seeds. And as I mentioned before, depending on which kind of herbs you're going to grow, the ones that come back every year, it's really more economical to just order the seeds. Mm-hmm. And the ones that are perennial, that you want to get big, things like we were discussing rosemary and lavender, things that are slow growing and that kind of need a long time to get big, those might be ones that it's worth it to look at your local nurseries. Most nurseries now do carry
I've seen a good selection.
And so, you know, it's definitely worth it, I think, to purchase a pre-started perennial plant that's going to take a while to get going.
Right.
Every Christmas, I buy my kids little Christmas tree rosemaries, and then we plant them out in the spring. And so they don't.
Beautiful.
A lot of them don't make it, which is why I don't have a forest of rosemary at my house. But it's always a fun activity to do with the kids, and the house smells great at Christmas time. So that's a fun thing that I like to do. And so, yeah, definitely starting to think about it. And there's nothing better than on a cold winter day, curling up with a cup of tea in a comfortable chair and perusing your garden catalog and fantasizing about what you're going to do next year.
Right.
So we were talking about a lot of different herbs before. And do you want me to talk about some of the medicinal uses of them too?
Yes, I'd love to.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite ones is the one I've mentioned a few times already is rosemary.
Mm-hmm.
And rosemary is, as I said, it's a perennial plant. It's sort of slow growing, but it will, I had one, you know, in 10 years or so, it's 6 feet across.
And it's evergreen, so you have green
year
round.
And it's evergreen, so it's great in the landscape. Rosemary is an antioxidant. It helps your body deal with the stress, the metabolic stress that goes along with a lot of the toxins that we're exposed to in our society.
So we all need this.
It's a great herb. It tastes good. It's a mild mood elevator.
Mm.
So rosemary is always a big ingredient in the teas that I drink when I'm sick. Because when you're feeling low, if you're sick, you know, lifting your spirits a little bit is a great, very helpful. It's also, as are many of the really aromatic herbs that we talk about, again, oregano, rosemary, basil, those strong oils that make them smell so wonderful are also tend to be antibacterial, antiviral, immune boosting. Mm-hmm. So they're really good ones to drink in the wintertime.
It sounds like everybody should have a rosemary bush.
Everybody should have a rosemary bush. It gladdens the heart. Shakespeare, of course, said rosemary, that's for remembrance. Mm-hmm. And we do, in fact, use it to help people who
boost memory,
trying to, well, memory is a funny thing, but it certainly can help increase circulation, mm-hmm. and circulation to the brain in particular. It's also, we use it for headaches.
Ah.
A little bit of rosemary oil. And if you go to the store to buy rosemary, remember that store-bought, especially from the main grocery stores, you know, the herbs, you don't know where they're from. You don't know if they've been irradiated. You don't know how fresh they are. If one of these herbs doesn't smell heavenly to you,
don't use it.
It's not, it doesn't have any, mm-hmm. of its medicinal properties either.
Better to go find a friend or neighbor who has one in their yard.
Absolutely.
I have one. You can come get rosemary from me anytime.
We'll be handing out directions to Jean's house after the show. So rosemary is a great one. Oregano, a lot of people have been hearing a lot about oregano oil lately, and mm-hmm. Oregano oil is highly antibacterial. It's great for fighting infections. It's, mm-hmm. also very expensive.
Right.
And you don't have to use the oil. The plant itself has enough of the oils in it that making a hot cup of oregano tea,
it's a breeze. It's easy.
It helps with sore throats. It helps your body fight off viruses. It's soothing. And I know it sounds funny because we tend to think of some of these herbs like oregano and basil and stuff as savory.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm sick, the way that I get sick is I get sore throats a lot. And mm-hmm. so I like to drink teas that have rosemary and thyme and oregano in them. And then I put lemon and honey and a little pinch of cayenne pepper, just a tiny bit to help numb the, mm-hmm. throat. And it's one of my favorite wintertime
tonics,
teas for, mm-hmm. sore throats, mm-hmm. for colds, for fighting the viruses, for warming the body. And that's the other thing a lot of these herbs do, like the rosemaries, mm-hmm. and basils and stuff, is they get circulation going. And when you're,
yeah.
fighting off a sickness, mm-hmm. you want to make sure that you've got lots of circulation. You want to make sure that your body is able to sort of push things away, mm-hmm. and fight things off. And so all of these are wonderful herbs. Uh-huh. And, you know, I always try to sort of bring a little bit of meditation to my harvesting and a little bit of consciousness to my harvesting. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I try to bring is to just, when I'm out there on a hot summer day and I'm gathering these herbs, to sort of remember that heat and remember the feeling of the sun on my back, so that later in the wintertime, mm-hmm. when I'm drinking that tea and I'm cold, I can,
that memory comes back,
channel some of that memory.
Yeah.
Yes, it's important to if you're going to grow your own herbs, to prepare them properly, you know, as I was saying, to dry them or to put, mm-hmm. them in oil or anything. The other thing when you're thinking about planting your garden is to remember that it's great to plant herbs in amongst your vegetables, because they will give them a certain amount of protection.
Mm-hmm.
Because of those strong smells, they can sometimes confuse insects.
Mm-hmm.
They can sometimes attract insects and serve as a trap. You'll have to experiment. Different plants do different things, but you'll definitely find that planting aromatics, you can plant them around the base of a tree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I have thyme growing around the, mm-hmm. base of trees. It sort of gives a little space,
uh-huh.
to keep critters away, because they won't go near it, because it's,
right.
just a little too strong smelling for them.
And people who are afraid of experimenting, they want to be more certain. Well, there's certainly books out there about companion planting, or go online about companion planting and know exactly which herb to put next to what.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that herb gardening is just a super way to get started. They're not as persnickety, mm-hmm. as some of the vegetable plants. You can plant them in with it. You know, you can, and it's fun, too, to think about, well, maybe I'll plant a tomato sauce garden. And then you've got your tomato sauce, and then in with the tomatoes, you've got basil and thyme and oregano and all of those things. And then there it is. There's your tomato sauce garden all ready for you, you know. And so you can harvest the tomatoes and have everything.
And the herbs at the same time.
Yeah. One thing that's fun to do, too, if you have children,
mm-hmm.
is it's really fun to plant herbs that are great for yummy teas. So things like, mm-hmm. chamomile, and some of the mints are wonderful. They're good for kids. Children love to garden. And so they can go out there with their little clippers and they can, you know, snip some mm-hmm. flowers and things like that. Up at the Montessori school, they have a children's snipping garden. Children can go there and they can pick mint and chamomile and lemon balm and all these different things and make their own teas. It's a great way to teach children, mm-hmm. about herbs and about. And of course, once you get them out in the garden, they might even eat some more vegetables.
Right. Well, I love this subject. Like I said, I think it's so encouraging, so inspiring that people can bring good, healthy food into their lives, good medicine into their lives, have evergreen plants around them, and then just the spiritual value of walking to and from your door and always having these green living things right there for us. It just is so important. We have time for maybe one more plant. Do you have one more favorite to discuss?
What did I already talk about? I talked to Rose. Well, I'll just tell you that right now what I've got going in my garden is something that people may not think of as medicinal, but it's garlic. I just planted it last week. Mm. It's not doing anything yet, but it'll be the first thing to come up in the spring.
And that's pretty easy.
It's very easy to grow. It needs lots of good compost, lots of fertilizer, and lots of water, and some mulch, and some good weeding. But it's so cheering to first thing in the spring see those little shoots start to come up. Mm-hmm. And garlic's another one that is so expensive.
Right.
Very easy to grow. You just break up the bulbs and you plant them. And
plant each one. The little root end down. And,
of course, how are you going to make pesto out of all the basil that you've planted if you don't have plenty of garlic?
Right. And so these garlic pieces need to be a couple inches apart.
Yeah, 3 to 4 inches apart.
And what sort of area in your garden do you look for? The sunny or?
Well, honestly, because they get planted late and harvested early, I tend to not think about microclimate and all that stuff. I think about which bed do I want to not have to think about
next year.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so I just sort of planted
in that area where
I don't know what I'm going to do there yet, so I'll just plant basil because
garlic
because that way I can change my mind later.
Fantastic.
So that's my very unscientific way of deciding where to plant my garlic. And garlic
and it works.
And it works so far.
Uh-huh.
And that's the thing. I think if people could take anything away from this is to not be so paralyzed by worrying, is this the right spot? Is this the right herb? Am I doing this right or that right? Just do it. Just get out there and garden and have fun and you'll figure it out.
And I have had things die, but I was sure happy just planting them. It's good out there.
Have fun.
All right. Well, our time is up. Thank you so much, Nava Konigsberg, for sharing with us today. This is a great show.
Thanks
and
for
listeners,
having me.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, too. If there was anything you missed, you can either call the station at 597-4891 or go to gmcr.org, click Programs, Back to the Garden, and then select this show, which will be posted very soon for listening to at your leisure. Thanks to Kyle Johnson for handling the production and Greg Renfro for the intro and outro music. Please tune in next week when we'll visit with someone else about some other aspect of gardening and planning for your garden. Maybe native species, gardening with children, beekeeping, or something else to spark new visions. Until next week, I'm wishing you peaceful, healing moments in your garden. I'm Jean Eisenhower. Thank you for listening.
Comes the springtime, plant your seeds. See what you can do to grow your needs. Tend your gardens, touch the earth. Thank the stars above for all your worth. Seasons of plenty, seasons of change, also abundantly here.
This is Gila Members Community Radio. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to Back to the Garden with Jean Eisenhower. Join us again next Thursday at 4:30 for more conversation on all things green and growing. This is what community radio looks like. This is GMCR.